Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Halsey from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Blog Side Radio, on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. And we're always open. Our folks, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for another day. So important to have your willing way. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to ask you that you continue to guide us. That man, they all know, you know, they want help. Bless many of us that you are God for us. Bless our families out here in Puerto Rico, in America, and across the world. More importantly, dear Lord, we pay homage to you, the one and only true God. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And it's that time. Oh, they're coming in. The crew is here, baby. The hoops are from the top of the key down low. NBA playoffs is rocking and rolling. Mr. NFL 411 himself, hoops his ace coon, seen from back in the day, looking for to join us. Hope Howard West Jr. Cisco kicking right on up. But we're talking to you one more time live from Fortaleza, Brazil. Hey, and the sponsors, the names, they keep going on. We got to start off with a thank from a man from Sally Braza, Restaurante Lewis. Oh, always Justino. Part of me familiar here in Fortaleza. Justino, owner of the best three-star hotel in all of Brazil. Not only so many in Fortaleza, Justino and that great crew over there, as you know, your pizzas. Hey, baby, late at night, you got to get it right. Dial that number. Give them a call here, baby. You in Fortaleza, it's your pizzas. It's where you want to go. Got some place to stay outside of Cape Cabajas hooked up. You got to go to Marina Parque, J.C., over there, along with Junior and the rest of that crew. And, of course, our good buddy who has been here with us live on the show, international promoter extraordinaire himself, Stacio Costamacio, 249 Junior. So, these are the people who are bringing you Sports in Depth this weekend live here from Fortaleza, Brazil. We were last week, and we'll mention those things once again. All the shows are always open by the number one African sportscaster in the history. New York City Radio, the legendary ESPN sideline for the New York Jets, the one and only Larry King Price. Actually, my birthday schedule, you know, I kind of been a little remiss in checking out the birthdays for the month of April. We'll look at those to you, get those taxes in. But hey, the Hoops is here. Hoops, I thought about something else that I saw. And real quick, let's go by to we're delighted. We're honored that Marion Borkin has input on the show this week. Marion B. Borkin, I say the B stands for black, bodacious, brilliant, as a, and a brother like the other. He had input on that tremendous fight last night. Danny Jacobs and Zab Judah live from the card at the Barclays Center. And Danny Jacobs was on that card. It was a good card. He had four fighters out of the four or five barrels. And Luis Collazo, another four of them world champions on the card last night. So we're taking our hats off to another card. Looking at the pictures we put up today on our collage, Marion Borkin opens up. Well, no one need to be said. Greatest boxing mind of this generation, of his generation, had the greatest boxing show in the history of mankind, working on boxing, which I was so honored by the grace of God to be a co-host of. Next picture is the doc. Little down low move there, just getting in the picture, as they so to speak. Great photo taken by my good buddy Eric, the Rocket Man Marcano. And then we come back with the other pictures. It's Palenque. Can't be in Brazil. Can't talk about football here and not going to talk about the king. Read a book one time that Dusty gave me. When it came to Belay, it said, simply the best. The other photo, too, we have is Corinthians, club champions last year. The team that I adopted as my favorite team, I guess outside of Santos, which brought us Belay, but Corinthians is the team, and they still had so much to do with that. And then the other picture is a great shot of Danny Garcia and Zab Judah, as Marion Borkin talked about how last night's fight, and you see that does so often, the respect, the reverence, and the acknowledgement of the talent and the show that both men put on. Marion, as we must talk about it now, had a tremendous interjection. You know, Marion talked about a tremendous fight, and more so the winner being the guy who lost in Zab Judah, who showed that not only is he a not just a trial horse, but still a capable, viable opponent. And which Marion said, too, had some of this zeal and zest been interjected in the early part of his career, he would have been a champion a lot longer and not here in this situation fighting guys who were trying to use him as a stepping stone. Marion saw more salutation in the victory for Zab as a loss than in Garcia, who had an opportunity to take out Zab, couldn't do it due to Zab's ability, heart, and courage, and would also validate what Bernard Hopkins said. I was talking to Marion in the email today that, you know, Danny Garcia is not all that. One last night, as Marion said, all for you. His dad should kind of be in his rectum, as Marion said, use another term, for not taking Zab out. This is the thing you got to do, like the old Westerns. You know, you wing a guy, and then you look around, and the guy shoots you later on in the back. Tremendous article. This was an email by Marion Borkin. I remember the first time I ever received an article from Marion Borkin, and I handed it to the managing editor of the legendary Big News, the Beacon. And he took, maybe 2.6 seconds of the article, looked at it, and looked at me and said, Mel, you sure know talent when you see it. And I got to give him a call, too, one of my great family members. But, you know, let me stop chatting, and let me get us into the one and only Sports and Depth Nation, and it's be without apropos if I didn't have the man who brought the term to us. Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Cosell Smith Jr. will bring you into, live from Porto Alegre, Brazil, the Sports and Depth Nation. Rooney, it's showtime.
Yeah,
you can bring us in
the web room. Oh, I was waiting for my music underneath, Doc. I like that music. In any event, Doctor, the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is here. And that's the incomparable Doc family. Take it away, Doctor.
Thank you, Ronnie. Talk about incomparable. Can't touch the panel, baby. No, Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, is here. Look, they can take it down low off the dribble.
can dunk on you if you have to get in the exact handle the ball with either hand, rebound, and take it down low. The Hoopster and Cincinnati Sea Wings, who wants to do that road game there again. That's where he got his name at. It's NFL 411. We're here. We're talking baseball, basketball. We're talking football, real football, F-U-T-E-B-O-L. As I said, we opened the show, the collage of photos, Marion B. What can the doctor play? Corinthians and Danny Jacobs. No, Danny Garcia and Zeb Judah. Names mentioned in our opening lines here, and it's just a horrid. We're going to start with the basketball. Hoops, I looked, and one of the things I thought was the key. The Lakers doing well in the playoffs with getting Cassell back. But when Kobe went, that just threw everything right out the window, Hoopster.
Man, half the team went down. Everybody got hurt. The broken wounded out there. That's what that was. They were done. They fought. So you got to give them credit. They made the playoffs. So. I want to apologize to the Lakers. Because I said they were not going to make the playoffs. Owe them an apology. They made the playoffs.
Hold on. Back up. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is why. Listen to Sports In Depth. Because we bring you an in-depth perspective. And look, and not only of the sports played, but by the players that play them. But then again, the class and character that's constantly displayed here by my panel. Yes, I'm very selfish. Less, I'm very braggadocious about them. Hoopster didn't have to say, I want to apologize. Hoopster didn't have to say that I told you that the Lakers weren't going to play off. But here's a man of class and character. Here's a man who knows his sport. This is what makes Sports In Depth, not Doc Stanley. Doc Stanley is blessed to have a Hoopster, to have a Mel Cosell, Lady A, Marion Boykin dropping in, Cincinnati Sea Wings, the Estonia baby lost. You know, here is, it just goes, action speaks louder than words. If he didn't say that, half of y'all forgot, or would have held him accountable. But once again, the class and character, it just touches me that these people just do so much to enhance me. Because if he's got class and character, you got to figure, well, Doc must have some too. And, Hoopster, And it's really not a whole lot being apologetic. You look how bad the sister was. I thought it was kind of amazing, too. Hoopster, as I was talking the other day, and we talked about, Riley, just last night at the famed Mambo, me and my good friend Tom Turnabout. And I talked about Hoopster how, you look at Riley. And you look at Jackson, two guys who coach teams that anybody else could have coached. And then you look at the coach of San Antonio and that team itself, they seem to be invisible. The guy does a great job as a coach. It's an outstanding team. But he is like he's there and he's not there. He gets no kudos. He gets no kind of respect, as does the whole team. Duncan's been one of the silent great stars. If you do your
he's playing tremendous basketball.
Huh?
He played tremendous basketball, Duncan. Looked like he got drunk a fountain of youth out there. He dunked on everybody out there.
I thought he was old and done, but there he was.
No, he's not.
He's on the run. But
no,
now
he looks like he's been rejuvenated this year, Doc, and Hoop. See, he's been rejuvenated. Like you said, he's been sipping from the fountain.
Yeah, he's been tanning up.
No, not only that, we got to look at Omaha City. I mean, they had a serious injury. You're talking about the timing. That just about shoots him out of any chance of getting back to the finals there, gang.
Yeah, Westbrook, he's done. But that play, I think he did that guard did that on purpose. Look like he clipped him. Look, that was purpose. Because they were going at each other before, and he clipped him on that knee. And Westbrook slammed his hand on that desk. He knew he was hurt. He knew it.
It reminded me. I mean, the timing of these things. I remember Lucius Allen, who was an integral part of the great Milwaukee Buck team. I mean, because Oscar would come down and give it to Jabbar. Somehow Jabbar would shoot it back out to Oscar or throw it out to Lucius Allen, who was sitting there with that sweet jump shot, the UCLA guy. And, the injuries like that, there's no opportune time to have an injury, But, you know, this year definitely just hurt them tremendously. But, you know, we're looking at what's the story, Hoops, of Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network live from Fort Lauderdale, Brazil. And the sponsors are unanimously. They are big. Chapitos, baby. Got to do it late here in Fort Lauderdale. That's what you do. Trabajada Hotel, Me e Mount. Destino's number three, the best three-star hotel in Brazil. And we also got to look at Marina Park and got to shout out at Luis, who we thank so much. The Solid Browser restaurant, got a chance to catch up with him. Thank him. We had an interesting dinner there last week. The service is impeccable, and the food is just outstanding. Hoopster, again, you know, the Knicks are playing so well. And another coach that gets no pub, gets no ink, Doc Rivers. No, to get his team to where he got his team with Rondo there, he's won a championship. You know, he brought back a lot of the class, character, and aura of the Boston Celtics. I mean, what's the story? Is the talk about? I mean, I don't believe they did. They renew his contract. I think this is the end of his contract. Am I correct?
The end of his contract. But what I believe is, what Siegling was telling me earlier, that they might fire Doc Rivers. But I said that he might resign. He think about going back to the booth again.
You know, it's amazing, the Seawings, and you know, here's a guy you got to watch. I took this guy out to the Jet game. You know, who can tell me this guy? He knows football. Next thing I know, him and Ryan are calling each other by the first name. I got to go through him to get credentials, and now he's dipping into basketball.
Hey, this is sports and death. Everybody knows sports, Doc. That's why you said this panel is amazing. Your panel is amazing. You said it.
It really is an amazing panel, Doc. I mean,
we all did everything.
Hoop and them don't take enough credit, Doc. But the Hoop, C-Wings, Lady A, Al, so it's an awesome panel. It really is.
This is an all-star sports team, so forget about it.
No question about it. And the thing about it is, what I tell everybody too, you know, we're not just sports aficionados, experts as they are. But I mean, it was here on Sports in Depth, which is the fellow that it will always stick out. It was here on Sports in Depth that we told the world, because the world listens. Hello, Rosie from Walter Reynonia. We told the world that Obama, the first African-American president in the history of the United States of America, had taken down Bin Laden. You know, and it was here on Sports in Depth at that time on the Black Radio Network, and we always say here, we will be indebted to Blake Radio. And we will say here that if the opportunity arises, we have no problem reuniting with Blake Radio. I remember Teddy Pendergrass when he left the legendary Hal Melvin of Blue Notes. And he said, hey, you know, no way, we can work this out. And we've said this here, that there's some issues here. You know, I, at this time, will say I had no issue with the possibility of reinstating. But the panel, there was issues. There was things done. There was things said that they felt was just unprofessional, lacked of class and character, and left them and us with no other option but to do what we did. But we're saying, as Dr. King says, forgiveness is not a case of act with a permanent state of mind. And we're not asking anybody to kiss our behind. And we're saying that the door, as a great song by Dean Martin said, and the door is still open to my heart. And hey, we're here. We can work it out. At the same time, we've moved on. And without this great cast of people that I have, I want to thank Lady A, who was on assignment last night at that fight at the Barclays Center. Cincinnati Seawings, who's taken us domestically across the great nation, the great United States of America, right here on Sports. The Hoopster, what can you say? He's in Brownville, if he does nothing else. And none other than the man who coined the classic phrases, man, a point well taken, and brought to you the title, Sports in Depth Nation. I've been blessed to be able to get back and forth to Brazil. We've taken Sports in Depth to São Paulo. We've taken Sports in Depth to Fortaleza and Florianópolis. And we're here for you. And once again, we bring you a in-depth perspective and look, and not only at the sports play, but the players that played them. And we're very proud of that. With God at the forefront, the core and the soul, it's Doc Stanley, Live Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. You know, and getting back to the Rivers thing and the great, the outstanding coach of the Spurs, you know, people haven't looked at the fact of the constant, and then everybody giving it subtraction.
Well, hey, Doc, you left out two more people.
Huh?
You left out two more people deserve the credit, too, now. Your good friend, Mark Jackson, and Mike Woodson. You got to give them credit, too.
Well, hey, that's why, you know, the thing about Mark, and Woodson, you know, because Woodson at one time, I think they were looking around for somebody else. Mark has done a tremendous job. I believe they've taken the lead in that playoff series, aren't they, Hoopsa?
Yeah. And that's one of my picks for the Coach of the Year. One of them,
Mark
two.
Jackson,
I'm picking one of them, two.
Job,
and I picked Grimwald for the Executive of the Year with the Knicks. He did a tremendous job.
You know, talking about tremendous, you look at that game last night, a triple overtime loss for the Nets. I mean, you talk about a game that's so vital. Because
Nate
Robinson,
tore him up. He was like little Jordan out there.
Yeah, who's that? Yeah.
Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson.
He was,
it's amazing. You know what's amazing about that is that here's a guy who has done a great job for that team, and it's always amazing when the African-American athletes leave the New York area. They don't get the kind of pub of positivity that it seems their non-African American counterparts do. Now, you know, the guy out in Golden State, I mean, here, he was a good player. But by no stretch of imagination was he the player that got the kind of money that he's gotten and the kind of status. But, you know, it seems to happen to those of the complexion of the connection that when they leave New York, there's always an air of positivity. And it seems to be a addition of that can lead to heights and to be remunerated, and yet it just doesn't happen. It seems the mindset of the African American that leaves the New York area, he's been rejected, while the non African American seems to be injected. You know what I mean? What he brings.
Doc, you're gonna have to give me a minute to vent about that next game when you get a moment, because I've been stewing about that particular game since it ended. So when you get a chance, Doc, I need 30 seconds to just absolutely vent.
Well, hold on.
About
hold,
that
hold,
next
on
game.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. He's here. He's a little upset. He has something to say. He wants to vent. So the man who brought you Sports and Destination, ladies and gentlemen, sit back. Let your children go to bed. Rooney has something to say. Rooney, it's showtime.
Doc, how do you blow a 14-point lead or so and with 3 minutes left? How does Nate Robinson outscore your entire team in 3 minutes? How is that allowed?
No defense. They're playing no defense.
They look like the Keystone Cops out there, Doc.
They don't play no defense, plus he's little. He's hard to guard. He's hard to guard. He's short, he's hard to guard.
No, I don't care what you call him. I don't care if he's the midget height out there, okay? See? Okay? That was an absolutely disgrace. What that team needs, Doc, is a heart transplant. That's what that team needs, okay?
Hey, Rooney. Hey, Wings. Who's the name about Rooney? But yeah, you know what? You got to watch. When Rooney gets flat up, Rooney will talk about your mama, man.
Hey, Rooney, could you go out there and coach, then? You think you do a better job? Get out there and coach.
I damn sure do. You know something, I damn sure do. And I'll tell you, it's no surprise that they said that PJ might get fired over that disgraceful display. Okay. So first of all, and then let me say something else too, Doc. Since I'm on cases of the various neck needles of art. C.J. Watson. I was ready, you know, when this guy missed a wide open dunk when nobody was within 20 feet of him. I started to nominate him for vice president of the moron section of the Knuckleheads Club. I mean, how do you blow a wide? And by the way, Doc, him blowing that dunk is what changed all the momentum in that game. It was down here from general.
No, it was a team. It was a team loss. Can't blame him. It was a team loss.
No, I can blame him.
It was a team loss. They missed three throws. They missed shots.
Momentum.
Three throws.
of the entire game. It changed the momentum right there. How do you blow a wide-open dunk when there's not another player within 20 feet of? That changed the whole momentum of that game, Hoop.
Yeah, I know that, but the Nets lost on it. There was a team loss. Don't forget, it wasn't a dunk. There was missed layups, missed foul shots. That catch up to you.
And another thing, I'm glad you mentioned missed foul shots, Doc. How do you, as an NBA ball player, supposed professional, and you can't hit a damn shot from the free throw stripe? That is free money.
You know what you could do, too, in that case? You should blame Carmelo Anthony, too, for missing foul shots today, too.
Oh, I do blame Carmelo. I didn't even talk on this.
He messed up, too. He misses quite a few foul shots.
Going too fast, okay? I was just ready to destroy the Nets. I didn't even start to destroy the Knicks yet. I didn't even start on them yet.
Well, I'm blaming Carmelo. You blaming C.J. Watson? I can save Carmelo Anthony.
No, not just him alone. But that, let me tell you something. That blown dunk changed the momentum of the entire game right then and there. Changed the whole momentum.
Not really. They couldn't stop Nate Robinson. That was the thing right there. That was the momentum of the game. They couldn't stop Nate.
Now Smith got himself thrown out of that game. They missed him. I mean, it shows that Carmelo Anthony can't do it by himself. The Knicks, especially, they have to keep their heads in the game. Obviously, Boston couldn't go after Carmelo because of the cereal incident, Honey Nut Cheerios incident between him and KG. And I don't think they could get into his head this time, so they turned to the next person that they could get under their skin and kind of a little hot-headed.
He hurt the team when he did that. He hurt the team very bad. And next time, J.R. Smith, I'll come in there angry. Checking on everybody behind
something
out
else
there.
About Carmelo, okay? I know he's the star of the team. I know he's their finisher. I know he has carte blanche to draw it up. But when he's shooting 7 for 30, let me say this. When he's shooting something like 7 for 30, okay, and just keep shooting the pill and shooting the pill and shooting, and he knows he's off, hey, it is up to Woodson to sit him the hell down. I don't give if it's Carmelo Anthony or not. When a guy's having one of those 7 for 30 nights, sit him down. Okay?
They did sit him down. And they came back without him. They came back. He was on the bench.
I understand that, but it wasn't soon enough. I mean, the guys have one of those 7 for 30 shooting nights. Well, you know, when you can feel that you know your shot is off tonight, and this, you know, you're just
pass
not the feeling
rock.
It.
I give it up.
Stop calling for the rock, man. Stop calling for the rock when you know you don't have it that night. Every time I see the dude, he's calling for the ball, and he's shooting 7 for 30.
But this is where they meet a guy like Amari Stoudemire, who has that low post game and can take it up in the paint and score. That's where you miss a guy like Amari Stoudemire.
Well, can I tell you something, C-Wings? They play well without Stoudemire.
When he gets in there,
he messes up the whole offense. He messes up the whole flow of their game. They playing well without him. I don't know. He might not be back
this year. But when they start to play Indiana and squads like that have a bunch of bigs, they're going to need him.
Definitely. They're going to need him. I'm going to tell you one thing. The Heat better watch out for the Bulls. They better watch out.
Number. And the reason why is because the Bulls play a very physical brand of basketball. They play defense,
right,
usually.
Yes,
and
they do.
And they have the Knicks numbers anyway. I think it was an oopsie. What did they win? 3 out of 3, 4 out of 4. The Knicks haven't beaten them all year.
Yeah, because they're the best in the league at covering the defending
3-point line. They play the shooters. They're up in your face, in your grill all day.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we like to say today, not to jump off the course, but congratulations to Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he got married. Yeah, congratulations to him.
I'm
glad you said that because, you know, in the monologue, I don't know whose picture I'm going to bump, though. Maybe I'll just bump I don't know why, but, you know, it's his second marriage. Now, I remember when he docked down the Blog Talk Radio and the Trust and God Radio Network live from Fort Lauderdale, Brazil, the sponsors are numerous. First of all, International Motor Extraordinaire, DCJ Productions, Dejan Cotamacio Jr. Once again, salutation and a big thanks to my man Lewis, owner of Sali Braga, Sali Braga restaurant here in Sali Braga restaurant here in Fortaleza. They have a horde of them across the country, and he has one of the best one here in Fortaleza. Always to my familiar at Travajada Justino, the man who owns the best 3-star hotel, not only in Fortaleza, but in the world of Brazil. Always a shout out to the crew over there. Anna, it's actually been a long time gone. Viviani Jr. at Marina Park and Chipitos. Hey, late at night, and they're done right. This is what you do right here in Fortaleza. The Cincinnati team, go ahead. Cisco Kitsch should be joining us soon. Because we got to talk some football. You know, JT is Jets. You know, you on top of the Jets Giant thing. Jets got Rooney, can you believe the Jets got another quarterback, Rooney?
You know something, Doc? You are clairvoyant. You know that? Because I was just as you talked about JT and said, came right into my...
Stay out over there in New York, Jets.
You know something, Doc? The never-ending soap opera that is the New York Jets.
Hey, Rooney, don't listen. Don't
hey, Doc, you
want to
hear something funny?
Go ahead.
I went to see the Jackie Robinson movie. The next thing you know, I see a guy waving a flag. The Jets draft a brother. I know what you're talking about. Next thing you know, Geno Smith. I said, what? Are you serious? I made history. Went to see a black film. And then a Jets drafted a black quarterback. Unbelievable. Unreal, boy. I don't know what to say. I made history. That was part of history.
That's never-ending soap opera that is the New York Jets.
But they gave him a good grade though. They said that was a good move. They gave him a good grade.
That's where you coming at. We want to start it at Wings. You know the contract extension. You know it's an amazing thing here. It's an amazing thing. Aaron Rodgers gets his contract extension. Now he won one Super Bowl. He's the best quarterback in football, in somebody's eyesight, and yet did they get out of the first round of the playoffs? I mean, it's amazing how it's not. It's never a problem to pay a non-African-American. I mean, Rodgers has been an outstanding quarterback in the shadows of Brett Favre for a long time. Okay, Wings, this is your forte, it's your move. Talk to us about what's happening. Is Rodgers worth the money? And let's talk J-E-T-S, Jets football, G-I-A-N-T-S football. Let's talk NFL.
Oh, man, we finally got through the 2013 NFL draft.
Thank God.
Which, a lot of the quarterbacks, they didn't go in the first round, which was pretty amazing. I mean, you looked at Geno Smith out of West Virginia. A lot of, I wouldn't say controversy, but his name was in the news. A lot of people were naysayers against him, saying his work ethic, he didn't lack the ability to play in the NFL, just as they did with Cam Newton. And he kind of went back at a lot of these people, specifically ESPN, who weren't as critical against him as were Pro Football Weekly and different things like that. And it sent Stephen A. Smith into a tirade on his show. Not totally negative, but just saying that if you come to New York or you play in the NFL, be ready.
I mean,
you haven't seen anything yet, and now you're in the number one market. You have to show people what you're made of on the field.
You got to give him credit, though. He's handling himself very well with the press. You got to give him some credit. He handled himself very well with the press.
He's doing pretty well. He's
very... Yes, he is.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to cover that.
Until he get on the field.
well, we have to see. I mean, now it's being reported that they may be looking to...
start him?
Sanchez.
I didn't like the heat that he took for making a relatively innocent statement that, I'm happy we're going to be with the Jets and we're going to make the playoffs. I mean, whether that's true or not, what is he supposed to say? I got drafted by a bunch of bums and we're never going to make the playoffs? I mean, what is he supposed to say?
I mean, you have to.
Yo, Mel. Yo, Mel.
I'm here.
Hold on, man. Dan. Wait a minute. We got to get this right. We got to bring him in his familiar way. Because we got some boxing to talk about here, too.
Oh, God, so I have to say about that, though.
I gotta have this conversation with Mel.
Oh, I know what he's going to say. Come on.
You know what I'm going to say.
I'm going to take the class.
Well, you said your boy Canelo wasn't ready. You know, you shouldn't be fighting Trout.
You're absolutely right.
What you got to say now? You know what I mean?
I'm ready for that because I knew as soon as I heard, when I heard your dulcet tones, I was going to have to take the heat. I have to say, man, that, you know, first of all, let me just say that he fought a tremendous fight. He was much better defensively than I ever gave him credit for. But, you know, I do have to, you know, saying that, though, I do have to say this in regard to Trout. I thought he was going to fight a different fight. I thought he was going to fight a more, I got to say, I didn't think his performance was as good as it was when he fought after guard.
Well, and say what? And that song, if you go the wrong way, his Cisco, that song's gonna hold true. He was a friend of mine. This is the last time you be on the line, baby. So watch yourself now. Calm down.
You know, Cisco.
Hey,
I expected him.
And listen, whatever you do, though, leave the one.
No, but you know, Cisco is right in regard to Doc. That Carmelo was much better defensively than I thought that he'd be. Much better defensively, harder to hit. He got in there. He'd be able to get inside with the jab as relatively easily as he did. He fought a very tough, very strong fight. As for Trout, I got to tell you, Cisco, he looked like he had some. I'm not going to take any credit from Carmelo, tremendous rumble, but he didn't look like the same guy to me, Cisco. I mean,
I don't know. I got to say, he didn't
look like the same guy. Two, three things
he
here.
He did look like the same guy. Exactly.
Alvarez proved to be so much better defensively than I thought. On the other hand, they treated the knockdown like a knockout because Trout got back up, and for all intents and purposes, that wasn't a 10-8 round. That was a 10-9 round.
Yeah.
I thought at worst, I saw a draw there. But, you know, they act like the knockdown was a knockout.
The knockdown wasn't, and of course, they made a big deal out of it, but it was a big deal. He did have Trout hurt. Trout did get up, but I think the reason why he was able to come back was because Canelo gassed himself out. You know, he seemed to be tired after that knockdown. Seemed to not have the umph to let his hands go and take Trout out of there because Trout was seriously hurt from that right hand. But all credit to him, he came back from it. I thought Canelo. I gave Canelo an A-. He did add some new stuff to his arsenal. He did have better, you know, pretty good head movement. He was better defensively.
Really? Yeah.
But what I take away from his performance is he showed for a young guy to get tired. One, two. At times when he got tired. He was getting hit unnecessarily by Trout, you know, with his hands down, getting hit against the ropes, you know. I mean, something that shouldn't have happened. And, you know, I just, like I said, when he had Trout hurt, he didn't step on the gas pedal. He didn't go and let his hands go and try to take Trout out of there, and he allowed Trout to get back into that fight.
Well, you know, Cisco, Trout fought like a typical southpaw, getting hit with lead right hand, you know, lead shots, lead right. I mean, to me, the guy fought a typical southpaw type
of
fight.
Yeah, but think about this.
Think about this.
Look at last night's fight against Garcia versus Zab Judah. Garcia was throwing lead right hands because a lot of times, you know, guys come in behind the jab. So it's how you throw the lead right hand that makes a difference. You know, if you throw a straight lead right hand, a southpaw usually expecting that. But when you loop it or you turn it to different angles, It's gonna throw him off, and that's what Canelo was kind of doing against Trout. You know, he was throwing Trout off with not only his head movement, but the way he threw the right hand. You understand? That's why he was able to throw that right
hand. You know
what?
The point that you make up too, Cisco, is that him doing that, in a lot of ways, it threw Carmelo off, and maybe he wasn't, you know, as powerful as he normally is because making that readjustment, would you? In this case, you got to take his corner. And I think the other factor too is that Trout making those shoots, he just wasn't the same guy that fought.
He wasn't, Doc. He looked a lot
slower. Now
maybe
the Cotto fight.
I don't think so. I saw the same Trout, a guy who's consistent, who pretty much throws a jab but not a stiff jab. A guy who puts a lot of pressure.
He's missing something.
Let me tell you something. Of course, you're not going to see the same Trout.
The thing he may have been missing last week was Miguel Cotto. You know what I mean?
Right. Miguel Cotto wasn't Canelo. Miguel Cotto wasn't moving his head.
Miguel Cotto didn't
have punching power that Canelo had.
He didn't fight big in that fight.
As rumor has it, as Timothy M. Smithy would say, don't worry, we'll get back to football. I'm hearing Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust in God, live from Fort Laser, Brazil, capital of the state of Ceará. As we say once again, this portion of sports is brought to you by the Trabajada Hotel and my famed friend Justino Marina Park, and also Sally Brazzer. Thank my man Lewis, number one restaurant here in Fort Laser, Shapito's, and also my man, international promoter, GCJ's. I'm hearing, Cisco, that they're still looking to do Cotto Alvarez.
Yeah, they're still looking to make that fight. They're in the talks. I think, honestly, it's a bad fight. I think that Cotto is going to get hurt badly. It'll probably be his last fight, I think, if he was to take on Canelo. You know, if he fights him, I always thought that if he fought Canelo was going to beat him badly, only because he's a bigger 154 pounder. He's got punching power. He's pretty big. Where, you know, Cotto is a true 147 pounder. He's a true welterweight. He's never been a true junior middleweight, and it showed against Trout. You know, I honestly would think what's going through Cotto's mind taking that fight, unless they give him a lot of money. I just don't think why would he take a fight like that where he can get seriously hurt. You know, Canelo is going to put serious pressure on him. He's gonna beat him down, you know.
Well, you mentioned the reason why. For the money, that's why he's going to take the fight.
It is for the money, but it's not a winnable fight. I mean, we all know it's not a winnable fight, especially when he was able to do what he did against Trout, something that Cotto wasn't able to do. It'll make money because it's Cotto and it's because of his name. And maybe he wants to test himself against Cotto to prove why the Mayweather fight should happen. You know, he destroys Canelo. You know, people are going to say, okay, Cotto. I mean, they're going to say, okay, Floyd, you know, you say you're the best in the world. We got this kid that's been wanting you for several years already. What's going on, you know?
But, Francisco, the thing we're talking about here, too, and that's right, is that, I mean, I heard Carmelo was like damn near a light heavyweight when he fought Trout last week. I mean,
I don't think so. He didn't look that big. He might have been 160.
They said he was damn near a light heavyweight. But the thing is, it's a fight that is going to be Mayweather go with Brown or something like that. It's going to have to be a catchweight fight there, Cisco.
A catchweight? Look, Floyd fought Oscar De La Hoya at 154 pounds. Why would he fight a catchweight? That's a cowardly move by Floyd if he was to do that. You understand?
No, I'm trying to say for both guys, because Carmelo, if he's at 170, they're going to have to do, I mean, you know.
Canelo fights at 154 pounds. If he comes in at 160 or whatever plus pounds, which I think is what he came in, hey, that's his choice. As long as he makes weight during the day of the fight, what's the problem?
You know, speaking of fights now, did Martinez fight yesterday too?
Yes, he did. And terrible performance by him. He got dropped. It was a close fight, very, very close fight. I think. You know, I didn't score the fight, but there's a possibility that he got a hometown decision.
You know,
he did
you
have
know,
that fight close
about
to
that,
draw.
You know what's amazing about that is that
the guy did outland him. The guy did outland him and the punch stats. I think it was maybe 40 punches
was
more
that,
or
was,
something.
Was that fight on – I didn't see the fight. Was that a Showtime
That was on
fight?
HBO. That was on HBO.
It was on HBO. And, Doc, you always get on my case when I recommend this, but I got to tell you, he's looking like – he looked like he was 39 years of age. I think he should consider retirement.
Well, you know, you
well,
got
I mean,
you
know,
one thing is he fought a guy last night who was undefeated.
There's two schools of thought. You know, having to fight in his home country can have been a tremendous distraction. And you know, looking back at him, I mean, let us not forget, Doc Stanley Blog Talk Radio on the Trusted Guard Network, live from Fortaleza, Brazil, capital of the state of Ceará. This show is brought to you this week by Tabajara, the 3-star hotel in not only Brazil, but the world. Sally Brazil Lewis, Brazil's number one restaurant right here, Marina Park, and of course, Sir Pito's, and my main man, number one international promoter in the world, Dejo Cook. In fact, I have Dejo later on the show from EJC. Let's go back on Martinez. See, Wings, don't worry, baby. We missed some football. Let's go back. You know, Martinez lived a long time off of Paul Williams running into his left hook. He fought some guys, the European guys, that maybe in a lot of ways Cisco and you come here too with this Rooney and Two Wings too, he fought some guys that came overseas that were maybe a step up from sparring partners, and you know he's been managed well by Lou Duva, who's done a great job of keeping middleweight champions. He had Hopkins, he had Jermaine Taylor, this guy. So I mean, at 39, you know, the talk about being the best middleweight in the world, all that kind of stuff. You know, the reality of this is that Sergio has been a great champion, but he's really not Cisco, a truly elite fighter.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I mean, the guy moved up. He moved up from junior middleweight and pretty much knocked out all his opponents, and outclassed Chavez Jr. You know, and who was much bigger.
And the next time, Cisco say. Do something like I beg to differ, or maybe we don't see eye to eye. Don't come like that, like your baby. You know what I mean?
my apologies.
go ahead, Cisco.
No, you know, I disagree. I think he's an elite fighter. He came into his own when he knocked out Paul Williams, something that nobody did. Paul Williams was a problem.
Hold on. This is what makes sports in depth, ladies and gentlemen, because these people, you know, at one time I thought they were the best, they're the absolute best. And you bring a point up, Cisco, that's on the money, because he not only did he fight Paul Williams, he fought him twice, and he fought a guy that nobody else wanted to fight, Cisco.
That is a fact that nobody was touching. Look, not even Floyd Mayweather wanted Paul Williams. You understand?
Cisco, we said nobody.
It's true. He was just that guy who was too tall, too lanky, too much of a problem. He was a southpaw.
And threw punches and bunches.
Who threw punches, threw so many punches that it was – he beat Lucas Matisse's brother, Walter Matisse. And I think he was undefeated at that point. He was just a problem. I mean, he beat Margarito, and I believe Margarito probably had Plaster of Paris then. You understand? You know, Paul Williams is just a problem, you know. Even when he lost against Carlos Quintana, what did he do? He came back and he knocked him right out, what, in one or two rounds? I don't remember what round it was. I believe it was super early. It comes to show you how the guy was just a problem. And Sergio Martinez stepped up to the plate. Not only the first fight, I gave it to Paul Williams. Yeah, I worked Sergio. But Sergio coming back and flattening him out the way he did, was incredible. I mean, that showed that Sergio had not only he had the style to be a problem, but he had punching power. And he's had quite a few knockouts in the last few years that showed the guy is a force to be reckoned with. Last night, what we saw was a guy that probably, because he was in his hometown, I mean, the guy could barely make it into the ring. There were so many people crowding him. You know,
yeah, that was his coronation, Cisco.
It was just crazy, but I'm telling you, the guy could... Dude, he was swimming through people to try to make it into the ring, and he's dealing with so many injuries from what I heard last night. He's got to get more surgeries done. I think Sergio, honestly, physically, the fight game is slowly breaking him down. He's not He's not. He's losing his elite status because he's physically he's getting old. His body's breaking down, and
he
injured his hand against this guy, and he fought with an injured hand throughout the whole fight. But Serge is a warrior at the end of the day, and regardless of the fact, I mean, I believe that it might have been a hometown decision after looking at the stats, being that I didn't score it. But I saw Serge didn't look good at all. But all these guys didn't look good. I mean, Amir Khan was dropped in his fight against, Joel Diaz.
Yeah. Amir has a tendency, you know, to look bad in big fights for him. And this guy,
Amir Khan is like Humpty Dumpty, man.
A 7-1 underdog, 7-8-1 underdog, and almost pulled off the upset.
Yeah, Amir Khan is like Humpty Dumpty. They're trying to put him back together again. I mean, the guy has a glass jaw. I mean, every time you sneeze on his chin, he's about to go down. I mean, like Larry Merchant said, saying that he has a glass jaw is like an insult to glass.
I tell you, a line that's really great, too. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, live from Fort Lazy, Brazil. Of course, the crew is live from the New York City. You know, the great line that Paulie Malignaggi had last week in that scorecard from Stanley Kudududo, who seems to keep a South African mindset and scoring the fight. But Paulie said, Lady A gave me the insight. She said, it's like Stanley came to the fight with his scorecard already filled out.
Yeah, he did that, and he was right. You know, Doc, this isn't the first time, and I know Cisco will be up, but no, this isn't the first time I've had problems with Stanley, this Chris Cadullo's scoring. I mean, sometimes I wonder if the guy's actually watching the fight.
Honestly, I believe, look, let me tell you something. I believe a lot of times these guys are paid off to, you know, let's go back to the Canelo fight, okay? Let me tell you something. If Trout was not going to walk out of there with a decision. He had to knock Canelo out. I mean, you saw the scorecards. I mean, the fight was close before the knockdown and everything, and they had Canelo winning easy. And that fight was definitely close.
Cisco, you bring the point that Rooney said last week. You know, Trout had to understand that, you know, if they were standing at the end of the fight, he wasn't going to be the champ.
Not at all.
You know?
Not at all.
You know what I mean?
Let me say this, Doc. You know, you've been in show business, Doc. I've caught your act, which was damn good, by the way. You know,
Thank you, man.
To understand your audience. You have to know who you're performing in front of. Trout had to know, man, that he had to do more if he's going to get any kind of decision. You have to know your audience, Doc.
But Trout,
you know
Trout knows. Trout knew it, but the problem is that Trout, Trout is not a knockout dude. You know, he's not a guy that he has an eraser. The guy that went in there with a punching power, and, you know, for a guy who had, he pretty much had his hometown on his backside, you know, Canelo fought like a guy who was actually the challenger. You know, he fought his butt off. You know, he didn't lay back knowing that he was winning
the
fight.
Seemed to be a lot of pressure on him. I think he would have fought a lot better fight had he been part of that undercard of Mayweather with the whole pressure. Of being the guy carrying, even though they added another 3,000 seats. But the thing that I saw, I mean, I still thought that it was a draw, Trout pulled out, but the thing that I saw, I was taken back by his defense. And, you know, while we're doing it, you look at last night, Marion Borkin, who we are so honored to have be part of, literally part of this show, talked about the fight last night at the Barclays Center. And this is what I remember at the press conference when B-Hop was saying and talking to me and some other people about it. He said, you know, you look at Garcia's record, you know, Garcia is no world beater. Garcia hasn't been anybody of you know, known merit. Marion gave more salutations and salute to Zab in losing than in Garcia. And one of the things that Marion said, when Garcia had Zab out, he should have took him out. He said, you know, and had the roles been reversed age-wise, he said, no question Zab would have took out Danny. He also said, you know, had Zab showed the kind of zeal, fortitude, and determination that he did last night in the early part of his career, he'd have been a champion a lot longer.
I'm gonna say something. I think the reason why we saw the Zab Judah we saw last night was he was fighting in front of his hometown, and the trash talking and everything that happened in that fight. I mean, one is I think that Garcia let him off the hook. I mean, he had Zab Judah hurt.
No question about it.
And he was beating them up bad. But I think that he felt comfortable. He saw that he was beating up Zab. He didn't fight with the urgency to get him out of there. And Zab, you know, recouped. And because we saw Zab in retreat mode once he got hurt and once he started to get beat up. But he saw that, you know, this guy took his foot off the gas pedal. He was able to recuperate and he was able to get himself back into that fight. And being that he's in his hometown, I'm pretty sure he didn't want to lose. It motivated him. Probably was a factor in the fight. Probably was what got him to pull forward. And he had Garcia hurt. And honestly, I think that maybe it was a couple of more rounds, maybe it was a 15-rounder, he probably would have knocked him out.
Wow, I got 2 points. Let me make 2 points because I just quickly, okay? Number one, I have to agree with Garcia's dad when he asked Zab at one of the previous press conferences involving that fight. When's the last time he won a big fight? That's number one, okay? Number two is, I know he's getting these accolades of his performance, but my thing is, he was indeed fighting in front of his hometown crowd. He is from Brooklyn. Obviously, you know he was at the Barclays Center. I didn't think he used the crowd enough. I didn't think he rode the wave and crest of the crowd enough in that fight. I don't think he gave them enough to get excited about that.
Are you trying to promote it here? Last week, Trout should have known. What's happening here?
Again, you have to know your audience. That crowd was ready to explode upon everything that he did. He really did. As far as I'm concerned, I know Cisco said he had him hurt a few times in his performance. Let me finish this point, Doc.
Go ahead.
I didn't think he gave them enough to get excited about. The crowd was ready to explode on his every move.
Do you think it was a time that maybe Zab thought it was an exhibition?
Hey, you know something, Doc? C and I have something big coming from WE later on, if you have a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Melco Cell Smith Show, okay? You got it, one.
Well, is C on the line still, Doc? Is Vic C there?
C Wings is still here.
Oops, is still here, too.
C, I want you to back me up on this, C.
I want you to back me up now.
We're going to do the tag team thing, Doc. I'm in the black and gold tights, no mask tonight, okay? Now, listen.
Hey, put a mask on, you don't scare nobody.
What did Bernie Mac used to say?
Now on.
What did Bernie Mac used to say?
What are you guys bringing? Your material tonight here? I mean,
we're picking that from you, man. We learned that from you, man.
Doc, the fact of the matter is, just quickly, and Seal back me up on this. No, I just want to say WWE has a bit of an internal problem with the other wrestlers. It seems as though WWE Creative brought in guys, as C knows, known as a fan. Dango, playing the role of a Latino. He's playing a Latino ballroom dancer, if you will. Anyway, to make the story a little bit shorter, the other wrestlers are getting mad because when they play this guy's music and he comes into the ring, everybody in the houses around the country and around the world have been standing up doing the Fandango, which is basically an offshoot of the tango. But
yeah.
they're doing their hands up and down, they're jumping up and down, and they're going into this dance worldwide. They're riding this wave, and the other wrestlers are getting ticked off because it seems as though when Fandango comes out, does his act and leaves, the rest of the audience and the crowd continues to do the Fandango during the matches of the other wrestlers. So the other wrestlers are ticked off, see, and you can piggyback on this. The other wrestlers have been ticked off because once this guy comes out and leaves, nobody will sit down because everybody's still doing the Fandango during their matches.
It's like the new Harlem Shake. All of these videos are going viral around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's big ups to WWE Creative because they started some worldwide craze called Doing the Fandango, and it's just taken off on its own. They brought this guy in originally to be a villain, a bad guy, a heel, and he's riding this crest of the crowd, man. They're going to have to turn him into a baby face, a good guy, called him the Fandango.
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 Yeah. I mean, but you know, let's give me a minute. Let's get back to NFL.
When you get back,
I mean, can you give us? I mean, who came out on the top between the New York teams, you know, the Jets and the Giants? And what's the story? Are the Giants finally going to sign Cruz, or what's going on?
I mean, they're trying to hash out.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I mean, I think this guy is the number one target for their quarterback. He's healthier than the other guy. I mean, I'm just sort of befuddled, and it seems, you know, the guy's in a situation that everything is channeled legal. You know, these owners talk, so it seems to be nobody else would want to pick up a guy with this kind of talent. On the other hand, if you made $500,000 last year and you're going to get $8 million this year, that sounds like a lot more money, especially in the NFL where somebody had heard your line the other day, NFL not for long. I mean, in your eyesight, okay, in your intellect, your savvy, you know, what is the issue here, Cincinnati C? 411? What is the problem here?
The Giants, it's being reported that the Giants offered him about $7.3 million to play, and I think he wanted more. But the players
are. Not what they said in that documentary.
I mean, they always going to want more. I mean, as you know, in the NFL, it's one of the leagues, few leagues out of professional sports where the whole entire money's not guaranteed, not like baseball. Mind you, where Bobby Bonilla is the highest paid outfielder on the Mets, and he's not even playing with them.
Still getting paid by them. See, you're right. He's still getting paid by the New York Mets franchise.
You know,
yeah.
You know what I actually heard the other day? I was watching this documentary. They were saying that football players are the lowest paid athletes out of all American athletes.
Wow!
In America.
Well,
wow.
Because a lot of their contracts are not guaranteed. I mean,
they're not, and also their lifespan as athletes is a lot shorter than most other sports.
Amazing seems to be a very small word to salute you guys. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, in depth look and perspective at the sports and the guys who play. And you just heard some things here. I mean, you're going to hear it. I mean, C-Wings and NFL and yet Cisco just told you that nobody gets paid lower. Before. And I remember my daughter teased me about a couple years ago. She said, you know, Pop, I don't know if I want to marry a football player unless his money's guaranteed. And, you know, you look at this, that the point that, you know, that you brought up, the money that has to be. I mean, a guy signs a $100 million contract and he's guaranteed $7 million. You know what I mean? It's crazy. The point that you brought up, that, you know, Bobby Bonilla, because the way and Bonilla talked about him, and you know, when you get to a certain financial plateau, there's certain kind of ways you have to get you. I just can't. Hey, Cisco, here's $500,000. There's certain things you have
right.
to do
right.
with the money to do a certain way. You know what I mean?
I think the problem is that as far as like football is concerned, the reason
why
they don't make.
Hold on, you know what we're going to do? I've got the one of the sponsors tonight on the show is, as you heard him a million times before, Dejaco Tomasio Jr., you know, the man and head of his DCJ collection. Well, Billy Paul, among the other great stars, Billy Paul, Gloria Gaynor, Ziggy Marley, you know, he's working on some other big things. We can't mention some names. But, you know, Billy Paul's coming here. So Dejaco is going to give us the rundown on Billy. So for the next couple of minutes, let me put a little Billy in the background. And we're going to let you know when Billy Paul is going to be coming back to. Here you go. Give us a rundown. This is Dave.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Billy Paul, touring Brazil, is 11th, São Paulo, at the Bourbon Street Music Club.
What month now?
June.
It's okay.
June 11th, São Paulo, at the Bourbon Street Music Club. June 12th, Rio de Janeiro, at the Barra Music. June 15th, in Brasília, at Shopping in Iguatemi. And 18th, in Goiânia, at Shopping Flamboyant. And most to be also June 7th, Fortaleza. It's TBA.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dennis Costa Matos, you're the number one international promoter here in Brazil. Now, the 11 12 works out good because, you know, their Valentine's Day is June 12th, so Billy's going to do a double hit. He's going to wind
birthday,
up being.
Man.
That's your birthday, June 12th?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Okay, we got you, gang. It's Valentine's Day. Well, hey, the sweetheart of boxing, our guy, going to remember that to put in the calendar. June 12th is Valentine's Day here. He's going to do a midnight show in São Paulo and then come around and do another show in Rio. So he'll do Valentine's Day twice. And, as you know, 2 years from now, we've got the World Cup next year. And then 2016, the first Latin American country ever to get the Olympics. Brazil will be having it done right here. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. I was playing some Billy back home, and what happened to Billy? Billy, you know? There you go. Billy Paul. Nothing be said. Me and Mr. Jones was the one to put Billy on the map. But me and Mrs. Jones, am I black enough for you? And a host of other things. Billy Paul. Ooh. Hey, do you know, Billy Paul was a boxer. And Billy was in Power Melvin the Blue Notes. And the guy that took his place in the summer in the band turned out to be none other than Teddy Pendergrass. Gentlemen, let me go through this blog one more time. Give me just a second. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Radio Network. We started off with you last night, big fight, Danny Cash. And Garcia. They have Judah at the Barclays Center. Danny Jacobs for it again. Got the residue on that last week. Austin Trout, no doubt Trout. Well, we moved out last week. And Alvarez and another goodie next week. Boy, pretty boy Mayweather and Pro. The champion, undisputed middleweight champion of the world, fought last night, 6 fights in 1 night. Happening to you there. And there's talk of Miguel Cotto and Alvarez doing it anyway, baseball-wise. Where is Derek Jeter? Will he be coming back this year? Will he be coming back? Or will he be doing a deja vu in the same vein as Mariano Rivera, who will be the last player ever? Man, who the vibe? Oh, that's when Poppins come out. Who be Jack Roosevelt Robinson? Let's go to Brazil. Fourth game last night. Santos against America. The goalie, instrumental in both games. And Golden Santos came out. Blocked two big penalty kicks. Led to their big thing. Neymar and Brazilian national team, Ronald Cinco, big story about him being back. He ain't dead. He was out on the field last week, but he's still alive. They had a tie against Philly today. Pointed at Neymar. And so let you know, the guy can't win by himself. Neymar seems to stay here in Brazil a number. The longest time, you have been trying to get a hold of him. Barcelona was supposed to be the team where he's going through. That happened. That's to be going to the best. That's like with Billy Mays hanging on the same team and Dr. J and Michael Jordan. So that's the way to do it. That will be going there. As you know, we've got four people in Mayweather. The question is, what does Mayweather do? He best go. You see, the NFL, Steph, tell us more about another quarterback. And he still got Sanchez. So, well, Revis is not gone, gone. He's long gone. The Knicks still play. The Knicks seem like he will not play anymore. Doc Kelly, Bob Top Fetch. Let's go. Okay. Back to football. I mean, the Jets got another quarterback in Tennessee. The Jets still haven't signed Cruz. They made. How true is the rumor that my man, who's a big boxing guy too, that Jacobs may be coming back to Cincinnati? See, NFL football, Mr. No.
Well, I saw Jacobs actually at the, you know, Donaire fight. You know.
Yeah. He's a big fight fan.
Of course, he used to manage Kendall Holt.
Kendall Holt. But what's the story, Cincinnati? See, is he coming back to the Giants? I heard they may be getting him back.
I think he's not around.
Yeah, I think
there's
a bit of technical difficulty, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sounds like it.
Well, I guess he figured his contract wasn't guaranteed either, huh? Well,
Yeah, right.
But he'll be okay. I still see him with us, so he had made the run too. I mean,
let me say something about Jacobs, Doc. I mean, I know there's a rumor that they may re-sign him. I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if they need him at this point. I mean, he's a big dude, a monster of a guy, but the guy runs like east and west instead of north and south. I mean, just one time,
yeah,
I could see a guy
what?
That
think...
tried just put his head down. Just put his head down and splatter guys for four or five yards.
He's the all-time touchdown scorer in their history. Bradshaw is gone, and then there's a certain air about him that's both New York and Giants. You know, even in Frisco, he was still bleeding giant blue. And I think more importantly, you can get him at the right price. I mean, because the outside of quarterbacks, the second position that people are falling by the wayside seems to be running back. And I think, you know, for all intents and purposes, he really didn't play last year, so there's no wear and tear on him. And I just think he'd be a good addition. And, you know, just his mindset. He's a giant. All the guys in the locker room kind of like him and respect him. And I just think I think he'd be happy. I think last year it worked out for both guys, him and the Giants. He wasn't going to stay on the Giants and get paid money that he felt that was beneath what he should get just to be a Giant, okay? But
yeah,
I think
Doc,
right
who
now.
Who is the guy? Who is the running back, Doc, that they released at the end of the year that played through all those injuries? The guys on the
Bradshaw.
Team love them.
Yeah, Bradshaw.
Yeah, that's who they should try to re-sign, Doc. The guy's a gamer. I mean,
yeah, he's a gamer, Rooney, but he stays hurt. I mean, listen, you know, if you can pitch every fourth day, that's great. But you can't give me 7 innings every 2 months. The guy gets hurt. I think somehow along the line, and unless you're a super duper star, Barry Bonds, Tiger, I don't think there's anything that has been written about or anything that validated. But I think there's a personality problem. I think he was a guy. Who had this great attitude, and all that as well is good, you know, as long as you're running for 1,000 yards a season. But when you're not doing it anymore, and I think I may be wrong. I think he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. You know, Jim Brown can say things to you that Jim Johnson can't. Willie Mays can tell you something that Willie Mays Aikens better remotely not even think about saying. And Michael Jordan says, "Be there." You'll be there, and it's not like Michael Williams is saying. So I think in a lot of ways, when his production wasn't there, this is nothing that I know, but there's the article that talked about, you know, how fiery he was, and that's great when you can play. You know, you can talk about how what a great hustler Pete Rose all along. If Pete Rose don't get 4,000 hits, if Pete Rose don't hit 300, if Pete Rose couldn't hit, then all that fiery attitude and hustle don't mean a damn thing, because if you fly out the deep right center field, you can run the first base along as fast as you want. You're still out.
Well, that's true. You know, you're still your squad if you can't stay on the field. I mean, what you speak is the truth.
I'm just saying the teammates love this guy because they said this guy was playing with about four injuries.
The guy's still on the field.
But that's the thing with football. I mean, you got to come to. I remember Oscar Robertson, it came out of the game in the Garden. And Oscar said, "Hey, man, I'm not coming back until I'm healthy." The great Nate Archibald, I remember going down to see him after the game, and he told the doctor, "Hey, I'm not taking any more of those pills. Don't give them to me. I'm not taking any more." Those guys could do that. You know what I mean? Because they were elite players. But like I said, if you can't produce, if you can't stay in the field, you know, you can say what you want. But that great line, you know, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Just Eddie Wiggs, you back in the studio?
Yeah, when you the NFL as of any other sport is what have you done for me lately? And like I said on the show before the end of the 2012 season, that you look at a coach like Lovie Smith, even though he went 10-6, I felt that he was gone. I mean, me and Larry
he had to go. He was 7-1 at one time. It looked like he was going to be damn near undefeated. He's 7-1. But you're right. I mean, that's still a good number. But, I mean, he was 7-1. He would have turned 10-6. So that means he was 3-5 the rest of the season. I mean, he wasn't even .500 Cincinnati.
I mean, when you look at it, like how you said, certain players could say certain things. I mean, you look at a coach like Jeff Fisher, who was with the Titans and the Oilers. I mean, I think he was married to the owner's daughter. He can do it, but maybe the next coach can't. Won't have that type of tenure. Andy Reid, you know, he was in Philadelphia for X amount of years. The next coach may not get that same chance. So not everyone has the same accolades and different things like that. But I'm telling you, you're going to see a big change in the Jets. Idzik is the Trojan horse. He's coming in basically slowly but sure, getting rid of the Rex Ryan personnel. I mean, basically was forced to keep Rex Ryan for this season. He's getting rid of Darrell Revis. There are talks that Sanchez may be done after Geno Smith. I think that's all speculation, but who knows? In football, maybe they might eat that contract and get rid of Sanchez. I mean, it's a hefty sum to pay, 8.25, and then take the $12.8 million cap hit if they do get rid of him. But I
well,
think
let me ask you something. See, you're a football guru. Who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback coming up beginning of the season for the New York Jets?
Hey, Rooney, calm down. Calm down, Rooney.
Hey, Doc, I like this. I like wearing this host hat. I'm out there for your job, Doc.
Listen, at the rate the Jets are going, as being as deep as they are with all of these quarterbacks, which obviously half of them won't even be there, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't think Geno Smith is going to be thrown right into the fire right away. David Garrard is injury-prone. So Sanchez will have the opportunity to compete for the job. So this is the year. I mean, he's going to be forever known as the butt fumbler. And, I mean, I've never seen anything like that since I've been I mean that was a low. Not only losing, but you run into your own guy, fumble the ball, loses for a return touchdown. I mean, that's just unbelievable. He has a lot of turnovers when you compare him in his first four seasons.
A lot of turnovers. I think he had more turnovers than touchdowns.
He had a record 50 over the last two seasons, panel. A record 50 turnovers over the last two seasons. They showed him in the audience at the Knick game a few days ago, and he got a standing ovation.
I like that. But he has 68 career touchdowns and 69 career interceptions, so he's minus one in a hole. I mean, you're not giving yourself a chance. I mean, his only worst season, when you look at his total stats of turnovers to touchdown ratio, was his first season, 2009.
Wow.
He had 12 touchdowns, 20 interceptions, 8 fumbles. And then you look at the 2011 season where he threw the most touchdowns. It was 26 touchdowns, 18 fumbles. But last year he had 13 touchdowns and 18 fumbles. So he was right up there with his rookie season. He has regressed. It's not all of his fault. But you took the role as a quarterback, as the leader of the team, and you have to step into the role like any other quarterback, such as Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Jim Kelly, all of these quarterbacks. And listen, you have to produce.
The quarterback position is the glamour position with the halfback. You know, everybody that's a quarterback is not necessarily, you know, a leader. You know, some guys are and some guys aren't. I think the thing that this panel has been fair with Sanchez is that in any conversation that is had with him, it's always alluded, and it says a lot about you guys as guys of renown intellect and class, that the constant deterioration of the players around him, which was part of the reason why he was subjected to situations, you know, to date he still is the only rookie quarterback to throw the longest touchdown pass in a playoff game. But like I said, I you know, leadership, you know, being a quarterback doesn't automatically mean leadership. Joe Namath had it, Kelly had it, you know, Montana had, some guys had it, some guys don't. I was stunned to find that the great Bart Starr did 8 years as a backup quarterback in Green Bay. So, I mean, I think the assumption is that some, because the guy's a quarterback, he's a leader, and that's not always the case. You look at the great Chicago Bears team, one of the leaders on the Bears was Gale Sayers and Butkus. The Browns, the leader of the Cleveland Browns when Jim Brown played was Jim Brown. So, I mean, the quarterback is not always the leader. Need a couple of seconds here, gentlemen. We're back. Doc Stanley live from Fortaleza, Brazil. And in doing so, we got to talk about football. So, in this game yesterday, Santos, they played against Palmeiras. And it's the first time I've seen the goalies really have a profound impact on the game. Both goalies were outstanding. Neymar and Santos. Santos is the team that the legendary Nicolò Pelé played on. And Neymar had a couple of shots that looked like they were going he had a couple of shots at the goal that looked like he should have made. And the goalie of Palmeiras made a great play to end the game. The penalty kicks came up, five penalty kicks. And right away, the goalie for Santos blocked the first kick attempt by Palmeiras, and that really turned the whole game around because it meant that they had to make their next four, especially with the Santos making their first two, and then he blocked another one. And that really was the whole turning point in the game. Yesterday they also played a special game. I've never seen anything like this in Rio. And Maracanã, I'm going to get Dusto, it was at one time the largest football stadium in the world, over 2,000, it held over 200,000. In fact, it's where Frank Sinatra performed. What they did yesterday, they had made some renovations, and they had a special football game, like an old-time Legends game, and it was attended by only family and friends of the players and family and friends of all the maintenance people that helped build the stadium. You know, everybody there, I mean, all the construction guys and their family, all the people who worked in the restaurants. The game was attended only by all the people who helped build the stadium from a maintenance standpoint of view, and, of course, guests and friends of the players. And this particular – Desio! Let me get the correct name in one more time so we can get Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trusted Guard Radio, live from Fortaleza, Brazil. Desio, want to bring you in here real quick. Can you give us the correct name of that big stadium?
Used to be the biggest stadium in the world before they renovated. It was 200,000 people.
Sinatra played
over there.
Yeah.
Now it's around 78,000 people.
Mm.
It's Maracanã. Maracanã.
In Rio de Janeiro.
Yes.
Now they will be playing the World Cup games, correct?
Exactly. The Confederation Cup, also the World Cup.
Now, you think they have, will they use that part as probably part of the Olympics in 2016?
Yes.
They will be.
Sure. Yes.
Okay, we'll be using.
Yes.
Okay. Can you read our sponsor one time? We've brought you by, we got the
Chipitos, Marina Park Hotel, Tabajara, the best three-star hotel, and the Saue Brasa, Mr. Lewis, our sponsor.
And who was this last guy on the bottom?
We don't know, man. DCJ's Productions. www.dcjsmusic.com. .br.
Dejo Cotomasio Jr., number one international promoter here in Brazil. I want to thank Dejo once again for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
And Dejo is always working night and day. He is. So Olympics will be performed there, the largest football stadium in the world at one time, and still of a large capacity. It's an amazing thing. It's simply amazing that just the people who helped build it, and, of course, the family and friends of the actual players. One more time, going through our board, as we had there on the names, Sports and Double Docs, Neymar and Pelé can't talk about football in this country and not talk about Pelé. Corinthians! won a big game yesterday. They won 4-0 Palmeiras, who lost, so that really was advantageous. This is, they're going toward the football finals here. So Corinthians continue to move, defending their World Cup championship, World Team Cup champion. They won it last year. As I said, Marion Boykin is the first name. Marion B. Boykin, Black Foundation, Brilliant Brother, number one boxing mind of our time, greatest boxer show of all time, working on boxing play, and also mentioned Neymar, who is the number one footballer in Brazil right now, but looks like for all within the purposes, he's going to play with Santos this year. He makes about 3 million reais per month, which is over like a million and a half. About a million is from the team. The other half a million, so it's from commercials. But Marion Boykin, Pelé, Neymar, Corinthians, as we said, they're the world team champions. Kobe Bryant, you know, who gave all his teammates laptops and did say that the Lakers would make the playoff. The Knicks are continuing to look good and move on. The Nets could be, for all intents and purposes, seem to be done. Tremendous fight last night. Marion Boykin interjected on the Zab Judah, Danny Garcia fight, and it just came down that Marion said, hey, for all intents and purposes, it was you that won the fight for Danny, which Cisco concurred on. At the same time,
I don't think
Danny
it was you.
No, okay. Danny was vastly. So, well, I mean, you don't think the fact that he was just a younger, stronger guy was the turning point against Zab, Cisco?
I think that Zab Judah facing a puncher, maybe that punches as hard as he did, made a difference. I think he had such a lead that he could afford to lose the last 3 or 4 rounds. And I think that's why Garcia won. If you look at the guy, the older guy, Zab Judah, ended the fight very strong. He was the guy that was pretty much, he won the last 3 rounds. He won the championship rounds. You understand? But because he was knocked down and because he lost, because Garcia had a greater lead leading up to those last few rounds, he was able to still edge out the decision against Zab.
So now, and you did mention earlier that had it been the old 15 rounder, you saw Zab pulling it off.
Zab was beating him up. I mean, Zab was beat up too. You know, he had a few cuts and all that stuff from some of the shots that Garcia gave him. But by the end of that fight, Garcia had a cut on his forehead from the headbutt that they had. I mean, he was bleeding. He seemed to be not to know what to do with Zab. Zab was hitting him at will, and Garcia wasn't landing anything.
I never got the feeling that Danny was in any danger of losing that fight. I really didn't.
No, he was in danger of losing that fight.
I don't think he did enough. I never thought during the course of that fight that I never got the feeling that, you know, Zab's taking over this. He's going to win it on points.
But Zab was taking over that fight. I mean, the last 3 or 4 rounds, Zab was beating the crap out of him.
I got to tell you, as I was watching the fight and as it was unfolding, I never got the feeling that Danny was going to lose that fight. Yeah,
I'm
going to
tell you,
because
in the first half of the fight, I saw Garcia beating Zab, hitting him with that right hand, eventually knocking him down. It looked like Zab was going to fold like he usually did. And he came back the final round and was beating Garcia to the punch. And attacked him, had him hurt. Had him hurt many times.
Had him hurt to
the point that Garcia was grabbing onto him.
He hit him hard in the 11th round almost.
Let me tell you, by that 12th round, Garcia was happy that the bell had rung.
That's true.
He was very happy that the bell had rung. I mean, Zab Judah was starting to build momentum round by round.
Had that been a 15 rounder.
That's exactly what I said.
Rounder,
if it was a 15 rounder, we probably would have seen a knockout.
I'm not trying to get on Zab too much, okay? But tell me, can anybody on this panel tell me the last time Zab won a big fight?
We know Zab is flawed mentally. He got knocked out by Kasuzu, and he's got pretty much, he's got 7 losses, and they were all in big fights. You know, he lost to Carlos Baldemir. He lost to Kasuzu. He lost to Cotto in his big fight with him. He lost to Corey Spinks, but came back and defeated him. You know, he lost to Kaladi, which he folded in. He lost to Amir Khan, you know. And now he loses to Danny Garcia. But I think in this Garcia fight, just like he did against Cotto, he fought a courageous fight against Cotto too. Just Cotto beat the crap out of him. But in this Garcia fight, it was different. Usually, Zab Judah starts getting beat down, he quits, he gets stopped. But no, he fought, he came back. He actually ended the fight in a good note. It was just a little bit too late. But
So what we can say that for all intents and purposes, Zab is not done.
I don't think he's done. Honestly, maybe a rematch if he can get a rematch
because Garcia's not gonna
fight him again.
And Al Heyman is known for being very strategic with his fighters, so he's not gonna go and put Danny Garcia back in there with a guy who was dangerous enough to knock him out, and especially the way the fight ended, where everybody was shouting Zab at the end of the fight.
Where does Garcia go from here, then, Cisco?
Lucas Matisse, or the winner of Lucas Matisse and Lamont Peterson. Hmm. And I tell you this much: whichever guy he fights, he gets beat by. I believe he gets beat by. He won this fight by the skin of his teeth. Yeah, he scored a knockdown and he was leading, but by the end of that fight, man, you could smell a knockout coming by Zab, and Garcia had no answers for it. Lamont Peterson will brutalize him, I think, and Lucas Matisse will do either. I mean, I'm really, it's a very interesting fight between Lucas Matisse and Lamont Peterson. I mean, this is gonna be a brawl. That's gonna be a brawl because Peterson is a brawler. He's a physical fighter. And Lucas Matisse is a brawler and also a physical fighter. He's never been knocked down, but he might be knocked down or maybe even knocked out in the first time in his career because Peterson is going to come tough. But also, we've seen Peterson go down too. So I think that, hey, man, we're going to see sparks, man. I don't know who to pick. I like Lucas Matisse, but I think that I can't really stand so by his side and say, yeah, he's going to win. Definitely, because Peterson is looking really strong after that Kendall Holt fight, especially. He's looking like a beast. So,
hey Doc, before I move on to my other assignment, I just want to give out two things.
Right.
Moving on to the other assignment. One is being reported today by Fox Sports that Phil Jackson had revealed that in 2011 when they were swept by the Dallas Mavericks that he was battling prostate cancer that year, which he ultimately beat with surgery.
He was battling too when they won that second game. Fine. I mean, it's amazing. Fine. I remember Doug Collins one time. Doug Collins had scored 32 points. He scored 28 points.
You weren't supposed to call me on that.
28 points in the first quarter and only 4 points in the second. And they said his dad was sick. And I said, well, his father wasn't sick the first half too? And, the question here is, what is Phil saying, that the cancer was the reason that they lost or that he couldn't coach? I mean, then, what he should have did, he should have stepped down and he should have put his health ahead of the NBA. Phil Jackson has been a great coach, like Bernard Coppins, a great champion, but there's no team that Phil Jackson coached that you couldn't put anybody else that did the same thing. It's not hard to say, okay, Scotty, Michael, you got to look around somewhere along the line. Nobody says to Phil, why couldn't you have gotten Shaq and Kobe? I mean, if you're that great of a coach, the Zen master, why couldn't you get them to coexist? I mean, I think Phil, along with Pat Riley, are two of the most overrated coaches who ever, E-V-E-R, ever lived, and they've coached teams that A-N-B-O-D-Y anybody could have coached. I just don't understand this greatness of Phil Jackson and Pat Riley. I mean, Riley damn near had five NBA. What he had? He had Jabbar in the hole, Magic on the ball, Worthy up front. That's three of the 50 greatest players in the history of this game, okay? And Norm Nixon and Byron Scott are not chopped liver Bob McAdoo should have been one of the 50 greatest players he had coming off the bench. Here's a guy who won MVP scoring champion and championship and rookie of the year. Okay, let's go to Phil. He's putting out Scotty out there. He's putting Mike. They say Michael's the greatest ever, so he's got Scotty and Michael. Then he had the best three-point shooter in history of the game at one time. So I just don't see where it's so hard to win with those guys that makes you so great. Now, the revelation, and we're sorry to hear that he had cancer, but I'm looking at that Knick team, you know, I mean, he wasn't even a super sub. He was a scrub sub. He was a scrub sub.
Well,
I mean,
Doc, you want to see him work with something that's not just a ready-made team. If the Nets lose this series, you may get a chance to see that next year if he gets named coach of the New Jersey Nets.
Will never coach a team that's not already preset. The best coach in this era has been Larry Brown, who has problems. But you talk about a coach, the guy Popovich is a hell of a coach in San Antonio. Doc
Popovich
Rivers
is a great coach, a Hall of Fame coach.
You know? But the thing is, what I'm saying, too, is that why are you telling us in 2013 that you had cancer then? I mean, to me, you're saying that, well, that's why we didn't win. You lost the first game. You won the second game, so you got better for the second game, and then you relapsed for the other three games that you lost. I mean, I think Jackson. I mean, I know Phil, but I think Jackson's been one of the most overrated. Him and Riley are two of the most overrated coaches that ever played the game. I can't understand how Doug Collins gets a job. Doug Collins couldn't. He hasn't won a site. Here's a guy who wouldn't pass the ball to Dr. J. I mean, how can you tell someone else about winning when you wouldn't do what was needed to win? Wouldn't pass the ball to Dr. J. And then he had Jordan on the team, too. I mean, I may be wrong somewhere, but I just don't see. I'm glad Phil is you know, better. But, you know, don't tell me in 2013 that you always liked me. I've been married for 2 years now. Don't tell me in 2013, you know, that you were sick. So you're trying to tell me, in essence, that the reason why you lost the championship because you were sick. No, you lost the championship because if Kobe didn't make that shot in the second game, you'd have got swept. But, you know, Phil Jackson loses, it's the team's fault. It's not Phil Jackson's fault. I mean, I just don't see the need to tell me now in 2013 that you were sick in 2011. And to me, it seems like you're making an excuse for why you lost. Yeah.
Right. Well, you can add Mike D'Antoni to that overrated list, too, as far as I'm concerned. But that's, I guess, a whole different story. Yeah, Mike D'Antoni. Hey, Doc, I think they're going to automatically renew. You know, they have the option to automatically renew Cruz at $2.8 million, and I think he becomes an automatic free agent. If they automatically renew him, he becomes an automatic free agent, I believe, next year. And I think that may be what they will do if negotiations break down. Now, as he said, supposedly he's turned down seven and a half for about 4 or 5 years apiece. The word, however, being that his people did it, he's thinking about free agencies. They have the right to automatically renew him at 2.8 this year. Then he becomes an automatic unrestricted free agent. So if he doesn't take that 7.5 per year, which I actually think that he probably should take. My thing is, Doc, I think something's going to get done. He likes being in a metropolitan area. He likes playing in New York, New Jersey. He likes the media outlet. He likes the commercial possibilities. I think he'll get something done.
It seems like to me that's the only way he's going to go, because nobody is even looking at him. I mean, it's just strange. It seems like it's part of that blackball move that the baseball players owners did. I mean, how could Barry Bonds be available, and that's why he signed his other big contract, and nobody take him. So now, Wings, you said you had a part two before you wrote away?
Quick thing, it's being reported from SportsIllustrated.com that the Minnesota Vikings are going to give the son of Chris Carter, Deron Carter, a chance to try out for the team, a workout, as an undrafted free agent.
What school is he coming from? You know offhand?
I can't. He had some issues in college, but he was working out with, I don't have the college
You talk about Carter. Here's a guy, and it's a great segue for me because we have a pair of his game used shoes in the Trust in God Sports Network Artifact Entertainment Hall of Fame. Great player, great guy. You know, I don't understand why it took so long for him to get into the Hall of Fame. And then, you know, they're acting like they're doing this favor. You know, you get these guys, non-African-American kids, you know, their father was a third string or a second string utility fielder, and they get a shot. And now they act like they're doing Carter a favor. Here's a guy who was not only one of the great receivers of all time, but the guy that nurtured and matured in the eyesight of many, the greatest receiver of his generation and could have been all time, and Randy Moss. So it's good to hear that, you know, his son is getting a chance, as he should be getting a chance. But you gave me a great opportunity to lead into the Trust in God Artifacts Hall of Fame, but also at the same time, to vent a little bit, like as Rooney would say, I don't understand what the hell took him so long to put Carter in NFL Hall of Fame. I mean, the guy should have been. It's like Jim Rice. How the hell did it take 15 years for Jim Rice to get in the Hall of Fame? In the whole history of baseball, you've got only two guys, and we have a Jim Rice bat in the Hall of Fame here. My Trust in God Sports Network Hall of Fame. You've only had two guys in the whole history of baseball in the 20th century, and Jim Rice is only a right-handed batter, to give you, in a three-year period, average, okay, 100 scored runs, 100 RBIs, 200 hits, a 300 batting average, 12 triples, 20 doubles, and 40 home runs. Only two guys have done it. And this guy gets in his leg. And when he retires in baseball of his era, he had the most home runs, most RBIs, and won MVP. And it took him 15 years to get in the Hall. I remember a guy told me, he was a writer, wrote for Newsday. He told me he would never vote for Jim Rice because Jim Rice played for himself. I don't understand how Cisco would hit 375 and be playing for himself. I don't understand how Rooney can win 25 games and be playing for himself. I don't understand how Cincinnati team can hit 40 home runs 5 years in a row and he's playing for himself. There's nothing you can do of the positive nature on a baseball team that doesn't help the team in any way hurts it. But, you know, it's the white mindset that black guys, I mean, that black out certain guys. I mean, Ricky Henderson needed one hit to get 3,000 base hits, okay? He was playing his last day of the season, and they were not going to play Ricky Henderson. Can you fathom that? You've got a guy on your team who is one hit away from 3,000 hits the last day of the season, and you're not going to put him in the lineup? You're not going to put him in the lineup? And is this a coincidence that they happen to be black? Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. I mean, they weren't going to play Ricky Henderson, you know? Here's a guy was one hit away from 3,000. Here's George Brett going for the batting championship. He finally passes Ricky Henderson, and they sit Brett down. Nobody said no. Didn't say a word about it. Didn't say a word
about
it.
It brings to mind an old comedy with the late, great Bernie Mac called Mr. 3,000 under similar circumstances.
Yeah, right. I remember that. They found out that they made a mistake. He had to come back.
Right.
And, you know, say, hey, we made an error here. You got to come back and get, and then he had the bunny. As Don King says, only America. Back then, in Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network, here, live from Fort Myers in Brazil. Cincinnati Sea Wings is getting ready to helicopter out. Wings, a last word, last thought. What do you say before you leave that you want everybody to hear and know?
God help the Jets. God help, because they're going to need a lot of help over there. And we'll see if Rex Ryan's going to even make it through the season, depending on how they play.
You're telling us, and you said this redundantly, that Rex is a lame duck coach, and you're telling us, depending on how the Jets come out the block, Rex's head is on the block.
Right? Absolutely. You look at what John Hetsick is doing. He's slowly but surely getting rid of all of the Rex Ryan regime. Basically, Rex Ryan was forced on him by Woody to keep him, because if you look at any general manager, they want to bring their own coach in and rebuild around that. They got rid of Revis. They cleaned house. All of the, a lot of the trainers and conditioning.
Okay, Wings, are you telling us that Revis was a move that said, hey, Rex guy, sayonara?
I mean, you go, if you look at the whole scheme of things, and now, you know, it was reported that maybe Sanchez might be gone. So you look at all of the guys around him, it's just like Sanchez, the quarterback. When they took all of his guys and traded them, got rid of them, then re-signed them, his production went down as well. So if you take the coach's guys that he relies on and you get rid of them, you're setting up the coach to fail. And when he fails, he gets the boot. So we'll
see. Chief, before you go, I'm hearing that the small print on Rex's contract actually says that it runs through next year. I'm hearing that the small print on that contract actually has it running through not just the end of this year, see, but actually through next year. So he may not be such a lame coat if they can get to be 500.
But when you take away the productivity or the guys that you relied on to get you where you were, they're not there. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to the team? Are they going to really win? You got a rookie quarterback that was just drafted. He's not going to be ready. You have a quarterback, Garrard, that they brought back that hasn't taken a snap since 2010 due to injuries. You got Sanchez, who fumbles the ball. You got Tim Tebow. You got Phil Simpson. I mean, McElroy. I mean, this is it's bizarre. It's just crazy.
Well, the problem with Sanchez, before you go, see, that I always saw was this, is that, you know, he has nothing to work with, of course. We all know that. No receivers, no tight ends, no running back to speak of. But beyond that, his real problem is that he is not the type of guy that makes everybody around. He's not the type of guy that makes people better. You know,
a guy like RG3. That's the same thing with the leadership move. I mean, not every quarterback is going to make everybody better, and not every quarterback is leader. Sanchez is the kind of guy that was his supporting cast was the key to him. Brady at one time made everybody better, but his cast has always been, he's always got a good cast, too. You take some of these guys out of the situation that they're in, and they're maybe not as elite. I think a guy that's a lot better than given credit for, and I saw that, is Brees. Drew Brees is really a lot, as good as he is, I think he doesn't get enough credit for. He's really an outstanding quarterback, and you saw that this year, I think. He was a really outstanding quarterback. Brady has always been surrounded by a great cast of people. I mean, he's a Mercedes Benz, but he's in a garage with other Mercedes Benz. And some guys they're Benz, but they're in there with Chevys and Fords. But he's always been a Benz with other Benz, and he's a great quarterback.
I mean, you look at Peyton Manning too. I mean, when he played in Indianapolis. I mean, the first couple of years, they weren't great, but when they put a nice offensive line around him to protect him, he had a little bit more time to throw the ball. Sanchez, on the other hand, once the Raiders once they exposed the Jets on the defensive side, they had no run defense at that time, which was hard, and then the offensive line was starting to break down, and Sanchez wasn't protected as much. And that's when Baltimore destroyed them. And me and Doc was at that game. I mean,
that was the beginning of the psychological decline and physical security mindset of Sanchez. That was a game, I think, where all the pieces started to come apart, especially from a mental and psychological standpoint of view. You know, and they weren't as bad as the perception, I believe, within Sanchez's mind, but that's where it started. And that's where we saw no longer a sufficient and capable Mark Sanchez. And then with the deletion of the supporting cast around him, it became not only more obvious, but to him it became such a, I think, something that, you know, he, I think, you know, mentally he was dealing with more things than he was physically. I didn't know he could take the hits. but it was psychologically how he got hit and when he got hit. Always seemed to get hit at the third and 17 and some very crucial. So, you know.
The lack of a running game really hurts him tremendously, Doc. The lack of a running game.
Oh, yeah.
A
well,
guy
I mean,
like Sanchez
definitely
needs to have a running
game, Doc. The defense is teeing off. The defense is teeing off on him.
Without
I mean,
a running game, Doc, they don't have to respect any type of play action from him. And that just kills him, Doc.
They didn't have to. Hey, Rudy, they didn't. They didn't have to, Chef. They didn't. Rudy, we got a good 10 minutes. We got some time here, so we're going to roll with it. But what I'm going to let you do so we'll be safe, I'm going to let you – we got a good 10 left. But let's do our sports in depth closeout. So with that, Rudy, close out Sports in Depth Nation.
Doc, the Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network, and the straw that stirs the drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc panel. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Rudy. Disco, we got a good few left, but you know, you won with us last week. Mayweather Guerrero, how do you see that?
I hope it's more competitive than what I think. I mean, you know
wow.
that you know that he was a former what? I think he was a where he fought at 126. I think he started from, or maybe a little bit lighter than
featherweight,
that.
Featherweight.
Yeah, he was feather. He was a featherweight. He started at featherweight. He moved. He in the past 2 or 3 years, he moved up very quickly from. You know, he moved up very quickly up the, you know, several weight classes. He was competitive against Berto. I mean, he beat Berto up, but Victor Ortiz beat Berto up too, and we saw what happened. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how competitive. I know Floyd is going to be the bigger guy physically, even though I think Guerrero is a little bit taller, maybe about, you know, about the same height, maybe a little bit taller.
Mm-hmm.
But we know physically that Guerrero is not a big guy. We know Floyd is fought at 154, so Floyd is he's physically the bigger fighter. I don't know how competitive it's going to be. I'm hoping he's more competitive. I hope Guerrero takes, you know, makes this an exciting and a competitive fight, because I don't want to see a one-sided fight. I mean, that wouldn't be good. But does he stand a chance? Maybe he does. I say one thing. He is going to come to fight. And we saw in the Berto fight that he did come to fight. We know he's not going to back down. We know he's not going to do a Victor Ortiz where he's going to, you know, try to kiss Floyd and hug Floyd and headbutt Floyd and all that stuff.
He's going to try to push him around and make a brawl out of it, Cisco, which is what he has to do. He
yeah,
has to make it a war,
he's gonna,
street fight.
I think, you know, but a lot of people believe that you have to fight that kind of fight against Floyd because of the Castillo fight, you know. But, Castillo did have success. But if Castillo was better technically sound, you know, if he had more technique, like let's say like Cotto did, like if you make Cotto fight that kind of fight, like a Castillo throwing a lot of punches and stuff, but Cotto was definitely a better striker than Castillo was. If you throw a left jab against Floyd is not used to that. A very educated left jab, Floyd is not used to that. If you throw an educated right hand on Floyd, he's not used to that. You got to keep punches straight down the middle against Floyd, because Floyd knows how to roll against punches that are round punches. You know, those roundhouse
and
punches.
And he's the best in the business with the shoulder.
Exactly.
Cisco, as you know.
Well, he's the best in the business because,
the best in the business too.
There's not that many fighters that do that today. I mean, that's not a new style. It's not something that Floyd created. I mean, his father was the one that really showed Floyd how to do all that stuff. If you look at his father's fight against Sugar Ray Leonard, he was making Sugar Ray Leonard miss a lot of punches because of that style. James Toney is another fighter that fought with that kind of style. You know, he's not the only guy that actually fought with the shoulder roll. And I think Guerrero, you know, if Guerrero does his homework against Floyd, we'll see a competitive fight. If he doesn't, then we're just going to see a one-sided fight.
Hey, so before you go with that, Doc, I just want to say there was a slight changing of the guard in the heavyweight division with Ariola losing this weekend. I believe he got his nose broken.
I saw that fight. I just saw it earlier today. Changing in the guard. I don't think it was changing a guard. I never thought Ariola was that good.
Well, number two,
they
switched positions. Number two is not a number one contender. Although I still think that Klitschko would be both of them in the same night. Neither one of them are ready again.
I think
to go
Klitschko,
back to Klitschko.
Will beat them blindfolded.
Yeah, both of them in the same night, no doubt.
Yeah, if you got to look at it, Ariola lost to Tomas Adamek.
He's really not that good.
Yeah,
you're right. He's already lost his Klitschko already also, yeah.
Right.
Validation of his lack of validity. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. We're about ready to shut it down. Cisco, you said what you had to say on that, and so we got to clear on that. We want everybody to be back here next week. This time we're live from Fortaleza, Brazil. Billy Paul will be in Brazil. He's become the man for Valentine's Day here, the 11th, right outside of São Paulo. Then on the 12th, he'll be in Rio de Janeiro, legendary Rio de Janeiro, and he'll be in Fortaleza again on the 8th. We want to one more time thank Louis from Sali Braza Restaurant, one of the sponsors of tonight's show. My dear friend, the best three-star hotel in all of Brazil, Trabajada, Justino. Also, shouting out to all that crew over at Marina Park. Got to go back also to Pan Americano in São Paulo. Chipitos, forever get Chipitos, and the man who gave us the DCJ's production, Jesus Cotamasu Jr. One more time, special salute and thanks to Marion Boykin who interjected there with us. The gang's been all here. We're about ready to go. Marvin Gaye's going to have his say. And then with that, we're going to run. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. Leave me with three thoughts. Live your life today to have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the rent you pay for your space on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the incomparable Larry Hardest.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SA.
I just want to ask a question.
Marvin Gaye.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined.
Here you go. Okay,
to
okay.
Die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Are they going to suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Life. But let's live every
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Rio de Janeiro, Valentine's Day, the 12th of June, is in Fortaleza on the 8th. And we once again thank our sponsors here, Jay, DCJ's Productions, Sally Brazza Restaurant, Travajada, Chipito's, and Pan Americano, and Marina Park. Once again, Billy Paul, Old Out, and he's here, Fortaleza, on the 8th of June.
But
and
now, baby,
and Rio de Janeiro. Time. By my heart, that's your call. I feel it. What's the difference? Lots of time for you. Lots of time. Just got it.
Now I know that home is a woman to call my very own. There's a crying over me. Cause this time, baby, I won't leave. There is no place left for me to roam. And do I just had to know what there was. That was the rest of me. Cause when you've got someone who waits for you while you're gone, you should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold on.
Yeah, I had to do that, yeah.
I can finish over there. Back to the school names. My name is Hesha Yusuf Mitchy. I'm about to talk to the kids who need to go.
You're bad. Yeah. Yeah.
It may have not for everyone, yeah. Yeah, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, like for the first time she was really nice to get too. The one I saw. That's one that I got. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The what?